Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, my wife, who is here with me this morning, is a Ukrainian citizen, and she's intellectually curious, so she's always probing me about the English language, the peculiarities of our language. And I knew the day would come when eventually I would have to try and describe baseball. It's a different language. Home run, strikeout. Those of you who are not native to the States probably look at it and are mystified, and maybe many Americans also are as well. And so recently, the head football coach of my alma mater, Jim Harbaugh, when referring to a coach from the south of Michigan, I'll leave that to your geographical imagination, he said this: he was born on third base and thinks he hit a triple. Okay, now how do I try and explain that? Well, I had to come out and say, well, some people are born with these advantages, and they seem to think that it was due to their own brilliance or their own actions. And so that's what he's trying to convey. Well, the Apostle Paul certainly liked a good sports metaphor. And my guess is that if Paul had known baseball, he probably would have said about his fellow Jews, they were born on third base, and they think that they hit a triple. They were chosen by God, not because of their own actions, because God is God, and he's going to make his choices no matter what. As John the Baptist reminds us in the gospel this morning, we have Abraham as our father, simply won't cut it. In other words, God can raise up stones to praise him. And so getting back to the epistle, we want to look at what Paul is beginning to speak about. He actually has a striking explanation of the unity of the Christian community, and he's speaking to Jews and Gentiles, as we know, certainly from the history of the Roman congregations, most probably Gentile. And so as he calls for that harmony, whether you are weak or strong in the faith, he says something like this: Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness. Christ was the culmination of all of those Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah. And Jesus reminds us of that as he's walking on the road to Emmaus with Cleopas and the other disciple. And there we read, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures concerning himself. But now in Romans, Paul takes several verses to take it a step further. He begins to talk about the Gentiles, and we see several quotes from the Torah, from the prophets, from the writings, the entire Old Testament. Deuteronomy, 2 Samuel, Isaiah, and Psalms all cry out that the Gentiles will praise the Lord, and they will hope in the root of Jesse. God's mercy is going to extend even to them. Now, of course, Paul is saddened that his fellow Jews have fallen far from the faith, but he admonishes the Gentiles in chapter 11 of the letter to Romans, don't get so cocky. Be careful. Because you are wild olive shoots who were unnaturally grafted into the tree of faith, you can easily fall from that tree of faith through unbelief. I suppose we could probably extend our metaphor just a little bit further. Sometimes Gentiles think they were born on third base and hit a triple. I think back to my own background, coming from centuries of strong believers of Germans from Russia. And then when my grandparents came to America in the last century, my father in Southwest Detroit and I in Dearborn had the opportunity to grow up in LCMS schools, grades 1 through 8, to be able to get that education. And so as I look at unbelievers and I'm mystified, how can they think this way? I have to think, back up a second here. You didn't hit a triple. You were born on third base. You were given blessings. You were given so many opportunities. Some of you may resonate with that. Others of you may actually be first-generation believers. And that brings us to today, December 7, because today we commemorate St. Ambrose of Milan. Ambrose's family, into which he was born in 339 AD, was a Christian family. But I don't think it's too far of a stretch of the imagination to think that they probably hadn't been Christians for that long. After all, the Edict of Milan was passed in 313 AD. And so this hymn that we're going to be singing during Holy Communion is very powerful. Veni, Redemptor Gentium, come, Redeemer of the Gentiles. I suppose that had special meaning for a man who was born in what we call today Trier, Germany, for someone who became this renowned leader of the church. And it's appropriate that we sing this hymn because Ambrose had a wonderful combination here. He combines this mission call, Savior of the nations, come, with sound theology. And why not? He had to deal with the Arian heresy in his day. And so in penning such a hymn, he is reminding us of Christ's divine and human nature, and yet one who comes for us. Now fast forward a millennium later, and Martin Luther now translates that same hymn into the language of his people, Nun komm der Heiden Heiland, come Savior of the heathens. I mean, you go back several centuries before, and of course the Germans were pagan warlords. But Luther had a different problem to deal with. He had the Schwärmer, the Thomas Munzer, is what we call the enthusiasts, and those who wanted to take verse 3 and 4 of that hymn, Savior of the Nations Come, as Munzer did, and refocus it to a spiritual experience of this rebirth of Christ within the soul. Luther wanted to focus upon the person and work of Christ himself. Well, this hymn really resonates with me because of my current role as executive director of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. We translate, publish, distribute, and introduce books that are Bible-based, Christ-centered, and Reformation-driven for the church worldwide. And we began our work 30 years ago. Our founder, a 1960 graduate of Concordia Seminary, Reverend Robert Rahn, founded Lutheran Heritage Foundation on Luther's birthday, November 10. And he immediately went in to my paternal grandparents' homeland of Russia because the communist empire had fallen the year before. And now we had an opportunity to restore the Lutheran witness to a land that had seen it for many years. It's been a blessing for me to be able to participate in that. Luther's small and large catechism, children's Bible story books, gospel tracts, even the Book of Concord, from very basic to very concrete and detailed, we have the opportunity now to restore that witness to the people of Russia. And we also have an opportunity for my wife's native Ukraine to bring words of comfort and a gospel tract to Ukrainians who are fighting on the front lines against that Russia today as well. That Christian witness is now expanded into 96 countries and 150 languages, from Bhutan in the Far East to South Sudan. And I see my brothers here today, Nicholas and Celestino. Good to see you here. It has come to their country in South Sudan as well, and all the way to South America. And today with Dr. Vicker, we're going to have the opportunity to bless these Spanish hymnals that are now being dispersed throughout South America, the Caribbean, Central America, and even to Hispanic congregations here in the United States. I know Dr. Sanchez and certainly Professor Kempf will really resonate with the opportunity to use this for the worshiping community here. And they will sing the hymn, Salvador del Mundo Ven, Savior of the Nations Come, in Spanish. And so the Savior of the Nations continues to come to us through his word. He raises up children for Abraham among people who have not heard the word for so long, or if ever, Chinese, Persians, Mongols, Somalis, all who have the opportunity to read God's word in their own language. And so with Paul we say, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Итак, пусть мир Божий, который превыше всякого ума, соблюдет сердце ваше и размышления ваши во Христе Иисусе. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.